There's a story told of a preacher up in Indiana who used to teach a Thursday morning Bible class. And whenever he went to this Thursday morning Bible class to teach it, he always took his young son with him. Didn't have anything else that his young son could do, wasn't old enough to go to school yet, and so went to teach this Thursday morning Bible class and always took his young son with him. And he was well behaved, sat sort of near the back of the class. But usually his young son, his name was Kenny, usually Kenny sat next to an older gentleman by the name of George. George always brought a couple donuts with him to Thursday morning Bible class. That's why Kenny sat next to George during the Thursday morning Bible class. And when Kenny would sit next to George, George would take one of his donuts and he'd break it in half and he'd give half of it to Kenny. That went on for several weeks, and Kenny really enjoyed Thursday morning Bible class, getting to go see George every Thursday morning. One Sunday morning, George came to church and sat down next to Kenny in church that day. Well, Kenny had done like he had always done every Lord's Day. He came prepared for worship that day. He had a Ziploc bag full of Cheerios. That's what he was going to sit and enjoy during the worship morning, the worship service that day. George sat down next to Kenny that day and he looked down at Kenny and he saw that bag of Cheerios and he leaned over to Kenny and said, "You think you could share some Cheerios with me?" Kenny thought for a minute. Nobody had ever asked him that before. And he looked down at his bag of Cheerios that his mom had packed for him, and he looked up at George, who, you know, it was his buddy from Thursday morning Bible class. Kenny reached in his bag of Cheerios and picked up one of the Cheerios and he broke it in half. And he gave it to George. He wasn't sure that he was ready to give much more than that to George. George had given him so much over the years, he just felt bad not giving something back to George. You think about us. How much have we been blessed? How much have we been given? And do we ever hold back? Do we ever wonder, "Oh, I don't know how much I can give"? Are some of us sometimes like Kenny and wondering how much of our plenty we can give back to the one who has given so much to us? I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because in this chapter, God introduces to us, God holds up for us and praises in the presence of every Bible reader a group of Christians who lived in Macedonia. And God holds them up as an example for us in how we ought to give back to the Lord because of how the Macedonians had given back to the Lord. They were ones who, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, from them the word of the Lord had sounded forth. They are the ones, when you read the book of Philippians, who had sent to Paul a sweet-smelling gift, a sacrifice that Paul says was acceptable in the eyes of God. Those were the Macedonians who had been giving and giving so that the word of God could be spread. And God uses them as an example for us in the Word of God about how we ought to give ourselves to the Lord in order that we might obtain the favor that is involved in furthering the work of God. I know that's a long title for a sermon. That might take you a little longer to write down in your notes than a typical title, but that encapsulates what 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is all about. That encapsulates what the first part of this lesson today is all about us giving ourselves back to the Lord. And why would we do that? I want you to zero in this morning on those first five verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want to share with you just briefly as we start this study this morning, some things that we learn about the giving of these individuals in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that ought to challenge us. I don't know about you, but when I read these first five verses of this chapter, it's challenging to read about these individuals and see, whoa, look at them, look at what they did, and to look at me, to hold up a mirror and to say, is that me? Is that how I respond? The first thing I want you to see about these brethren is I want you to see the setting of their giving and see how it challenges us to see the setting, to see the background, to see when you look at them, what were the circumstances of their giving? Look in verse 2, where it describes the setting in which they lived, where they lived at a time of great trial. Your Bible might have, instead of great trial, it may talk about a severe test. Like metals were put to the test to see how strong and how pure those metals were. That's what they were going through. They were going through a great trial of affliction. They were not living in easy times. They were living in times of persecution. And yet that's the setting. That's the background. That's the circumstances to describe for us what's going on in their lives. But bring it even more close. Not just what is the setting, not just what's going on in their surroundings, but what's going on with them. Were these people rich? Were they wealthy? What does verse 2 say? It describes them as individuals who were living in deep poverty. They were not wealthy. These individuals, your Bible might not have the word deep, it might say extreme poverty. The word that's used here for poverty is a word that means they were at rock bottom. Literally, it's talking about poverty that is deep down. It's not just that they were having a rough week. It is that they were living in deep down extreme poverty. A verb form of this word would indicate that they were beggars, as it would be, because they did not have very much. I want you to look at the setting in which these people were living. They were living in a Roman Empire where Macedonia used to be a wealthy place to live until Rome came along. And under the Roman Empire, they had had all of their goods, all of their riches taken from them. And here they were living at a time of high taxes, of high rent, of high cost of food. Can you relate to any of that? That's what they were going through. Those weren't things that I made up. That's things I was reading about the history of living under the Roman Empire at this time. They had every human reason. When it came to giving, they had every human reason to say, we just can't. We just can't do it. And perhaps they would have felt excused in that sense. And yet, what do you read about them? Did they give? That's just the setting. That's the circumstances in which we find these people. But I want you to look at the spirit of their giving. I want you to look at their heart. Look at the heart of their giving. When they were ready to give to God, here they are living in extreme poverty and great trial of affliction. When it came time to give to God, were they, oh man, I got to give to God? Oh, I don't have enough even for me. How am I going to give to God? Is that what you read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Were they hesitant? Were they unwilling? Look in these verses and look in verse 2 where it talks about the abundance of their joy. Here they were in deep poverty, but their joy was not in poverty. Their joy at the opportunity to give to God was abundant. As you look in verse 3, it talks about the fact that they gave, and they gave because they were freely willing to give of their own accord. We'll read later in the next chapter about giving not grudgingly or of necessity. Here's an example. They didn't give grudgingly or of necessity. They gave freely, willing, of their own accord. Not because they had to. They gave because they wanted to. Look in verse 4, where Paul says that these individuals were begging us with much urgency, or your Bible might use the word urging. They were begging us. Here they were ready to give for the furtherance of the work of God, and Paul says they were begging us to take the gift. Look at their heart. Wow. Does that spirit challenge you like it challenges me? Here they were in great trial of affliction and deep poverty, but that wasn't stopping them in giving. Their heart was overflowing in joy at the opportunity to give back to God, and they were begging that the gift might be taken. What about us? How does that impact us? I want you to look at the size of their giving. Does the size of their giving challenge you in the way that it challenges me? Look in verse 2, where it describes their deep poverty. But look at what it says in verse 2. Their deep poverty abounded or overflowed in the riches of their liberality. Wow. Here they were. They didn't have much, but what were they? They were generous in what they did have. Maybe your Bible has the word generosity there. They were abounding in the wealth and the riches of their generosity. Verse 3 says, they not only gave according to their ability, they gave. How did they give? Not only according to how much they had and their means and their ability. Paul says, and yes, and beyond their ability. God wasn't concerned about how many zeros there were. God wasn't concerned about how many digits there were before the decimal point in their giving. God was looking at their heart, and here they were saying, we want to give what we can, and here they were giving more than was their ability was. Look in verse 4, where it says, verse 5, where Paul says, they gave not only as we had hoped. They gave not only as we had expected them to give. They gave even more. You read about these Christians and you see a heart of happiness and eagerness. You read about these Christians who were not looking for a minimum to give. They weren't looking for a minimum. They were wanting to give all that they possibly could. Does that challenge you? Like it challenges me? Look at the strategy of their giving. What was it that motivated them? What was it they were going after? What was their purpose? What was their goal? What did they have in mind for their giving? Look in verse 4, where Paul says, they were begging us with much urgency to take this gift. Why? Look at the word for. For the favor, or the New King James uses the word gift, for the favor and participation in the ministering to the saints. We want to be a part of the work. We want to participate. We want to have fellowship in what's happening in the work of the Lord. And not just we want to participate, we want the gift, the favor. Not that's coming to us. That's not what he's saying. We want the favor. We want the privilege of being a part of the work of God. That's why they were giving. That's what their motivation was. That's what their strategy was. Verse 5 says, they gave to please the will of God. They weren't giving in order to please themselves. They weren't giving to draw attention to themselves. They were not giving in order to fulfill some kind of obligation that they had. They were giving so that the work of God could be furthered, so that they could partake in that and just have the favor and the privilege of being a part of the work of God. And they did it so that God's will could be pleased. Wow. Does that challenge you? Like that challenges me. They wanted the favor and the privilege being a part of the work of God. Finally, I want you to look at the secret of their giving. What in the world? How could they go from the setting of having nothing and in persecution to having a spirit or a heart that just says, we're overflowing in joy to give, and to have a size of a gift that was giving more than was that they were able to give so that they could, in a strategy, be a part of the work of God? What was the secret? How do you get that kind of desire? How do you get that kind of a heart? How do you get that kind of a mindset toward giving? What was their secret? Look in verse 5. Verse 5 tells us their secret. Paul says they first gave themselves. Before they ever gave money, before they ever, as in our terminology, before the basket was ever passed in the worship service, before they ever gave anything, they first gave themselves. It's a whole lot easier to give after you've given yourself. Apply that in your marriage. When you get married and you give yourself to your husband and give yourself to your wife, it's a whole lot easier to give and to do things for each other when you've already given yourself up in that marriage. When we give ourselves, then the giving that is involved in that just comes naturally. But look at what verse 5 says. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And when you give yourself to the Lord, everything I have belongs to Him. Nothing I have belongs to me. And when I've given myself to the Lord, everything that I have is at His disposal. Does that challenge you Honestly, does that challenge you in the way that challenges me? Here were individuals that wanted the favor of being a part of the work of God. And so Paul, God says to us down in verse 7, this is where you need to be. This is what you need to abound in. This is the grace that you need to abound in yourselves. See that you abound in this grace also. What if the Macedonians had a mission Sunday? How do you think those Macedonians would have responded to a mission Sunday? I am thankful for Mission Sunday in this church. I'm thankful for our elders who 18 years ago, back in 2003, 19 years ago when they were talking about it, came up with this idea. I think Mission Sunday challenges us. Challenges us not just in the giving. I think it challenges us to see souls. I think it challenges us to see souls in our own lives and to see people who are in need of the gospel, not just around the globe, but right here in our own lives. And if Mission Sunday has done nothing else than to help all of us to awaken to opportunities around us, thank God for Mission Sunday. But what Mission Sunday does as a whole is it helps us to be a part of the work of God. Perhaps it helps us to want to be, to have the favor, the privilege, and the participation of being a part even more of the work of God. If you're visiting with us this morning, you may not know what our Mission Sunday is. Maybe you were here last year, or you've been here before, and the last Sunday of January every year. What our elders call our Mission Sunday. And every dollar that is given on that Sunday goes towards mission work. Every dollar that's given next week is going to go towards mission work in 2022. What a great privilege that is that we get to be a part of that. We mentioned last week that since 2004, when this began, the average contribution on Mission Sunday has been $138,000. Praise be to God, not to us. Praise be to God that wherever we are individually, that we come together collectively. And no matter where our finances may be individually, we come together collectively and we say, we want to be a part of furthering the work of God on this earth. And so I want to share with you this morning some exciting challenges that the elders have for us in 2022. And I hope you will be excited by these things as we briefly look at what the elders are laying out before us. And I hope that you will prayerfully consider your participation in Mission Sunday next week. Not for any glory that we receive from this. I am thankful that except for just a few people in this congregation who are responsible for counting it up, I am thankful that our elders, our preachers, our deacons don't know what any individual person gives. Because it's not about what any individual person gives. It's about what we give together, that we might work together for the furtherance of the gospel. Let me share with you just briefly where the elders want us to go and some things that they want us to do this year in our Mission Sunday. And as you know, we always start out with what we call the base. The base involves commitments that our elders have already made to missionaries and to works that we are involved in. That these are things that we've already committed that we are going to accomplish these. And you see that our base amount this year is $95,700. That's almost twice what it was in 2004 when we started Mission Sunday. That is the largest base amount we've ever had in Mission Sunday. That's a big number. It represents commitments that we have already made to a number of our mission works. To Nana Aforji, who's been our missionary over in Nigeria since 1994 and doing a great work there. You may remember Chad Wagner, who came August of last year when Chad Wagner came and reported about the work in Nigeria. Chad travels over there, and Chad is in contact, and he is kind of our contact with Nana right now, helping us to see all the great things that Nana has been doing in Nigeria. Every year we talk about Tamuka, who's there in Zimbabwe. We've been supporting Tamuka since 1994, and imagine living in the conditions that Tamuka lives in Zimbabwe. If you think 7% inflation is bad, and it is in this country, imagine 100% inflation. Not being able to afford the basic necessities of things that you need to live. Imagine the government system that they have in Zimbabwe and the oppression that they are under. And yet the reports that our elders get from Tamuka are just full and overflowing with joy, with positivity, with excitement about the work that the Lord is doing. You don't hear any grumbling from this man who's doing the Lord's work, and we have the favor of getting to be a part of what he's doing over there. We get to support Nana, we get to support Tamuka, and as I mentioned, Robert Martin will be here next week. We've been supporting Robert Martin since 1989, and I don't know if this church has a favorite missionary, but I suppose if we said who's our favorite missionary, Robert Martin would be right up there. Robert is one that brings excitement to us when we hear about the work that he is involved in. And we'll talk a little bit more about Robert and the work that he is doing in just a few minutes. But we've been supporting Joey Treat in the Pacific Islands since 2004. And we're thankful for the different islands that he has been working on since then. He has moved to Guam most recently. He's working with three different congregations there in Guam. And thankful for his growing family. His daughter Nina is at Fried Hardeman and studying there. But Joey and Tammy are doing a great work out in Guam. We're thankful for the connection that we recently have made with Wayne and Christy Parker, who are also working out in the Pacific on Pohnpei. And COVID has really made things difficult on them. They got stuck here in the States and couldn't get back out there to the islands. And so they have been working all they can to try to get back there, longing to continue the work out there in Pohnpei. But Wayne and Christy are some of the hardest workers that you will meet for the Lord. And if you remember Wayne's reports, and he's been here just a couple times, and the excitement that he has and the excitement that he brings to us when he talks about the things that he's doing in the various islands that he's working on. You bring a little closer to home. And Mauricio Yegros just works down south in Coral Springs. But one of our missionaries who has helped in a team down there to start a Spanish-speaking congregation there in Coral Springs, but not just a Spanish-speaking congregation. Now they have an English worship, a Spanish worship and an English worship, working in a bilingual setting among individuals down there, trying down in Broward County to spread the gospel down there. And again, Mauricio and his reports, and you all get those reports. Those are emailed out to you, forwarded to you when we get them. Talks about all the things that they're trying to do down there in the work, and they have been growing. They had a retreat just a few months ago that Josh and Kara were a part of. And look at their family. Isn't that a cute family? I mean, they've got a growing family. The last picture we had of them only had a couple kids. Every year we got to get a new picture because they keep having more kids. Mauricio is just a hard worker for the Lord. Tavaro Hanna is one over in Freeport, Grand Bahama Island, in a suburb of Freeport out in 8 Mile Rock that we've been supporting for the last few years. You see the building there on the bottom. They're building a church building to meet so that they're not meeting over here in somebody's living room, but instead might have an actual building that they can meet in and worship in and invite their friends to come and be a part of the church that is there. And their family, we had to get a new picture for them too. Their family keeps growing. Now they've got 5 kids. I think they went over with 2, maybe 3, and their family continues to grow. But he finally got a boy. I don't know if that's what they were working for or not, but he's got 4 daughters and finally got a boy. So But we're thankful for their family and the good work that they are doing. We support, the last few years, been supporting Robert C. Lupo up in Sneedville, East Tennessee, up in a rural area, an impoverished area of Tennessee. This is our Robert, our Bobo Lupo's uncle, that we've been able to be a part of that work for the last several years, and a very difficult place to work up in that area, and we're thankful that we get to be a part of that. And then, you know, you think about some of the things that are exciting to be a part of, and Apologetics Press is just one of those works that just amazes and amazes the more and more that they do. I don't know if you've been on their new website. If you haven't been on their new website, you need to go and check it out. Very easy to navigate. They got a great search engine on there to find all sorts of things that you would be looking for and topics that you would be interested in. They keep coming out with new publications, new books. And we mentioned last week, make sure you're on their Monday email that comes out with all of their new updates to the website and articles that are being added to it. Many of you are using their Defending the Faith Study Bible that's on the right side of the screen. And isn't that amazing? All of the incredible notes that they have in there, the great study notes and helps that they have as a part of that. The men that are part of this, Dave and Kyle and Eric and Jeff, they travel around and speak in so many different places. And what's interesting, when Dave and Jeff were here this last year, they talked about the fact that, you know, with COVID, they didn't get to travel as much. Well, they didn't sit back and do nothing. You know, it wasn't like, oh, well, we're not traveling, so now we get more time to sit around and just relax. They took that opportunity to start recording a bunch of videos. And so almost in every email that you get on Mondays, they're advertising some new video that they've got recorded. And so they're just over and over adding new things and new sources that you can use and helping to teach others. So we're thankful that we get to be a part of and have a favor in being able to participate in furthering the work that Apologetics Press is doing. We've got our young people that go on mission trips every year. And this last year, they went up to Sneedville, where Robert C. Lupo is. And so here's some pictures of that senior high and adult mission team. We've combined it so that it's senior high or teens and adults that go on these mission trips together. And if you would like to be a part of one of those, then see Josh. There's a application process that you go through, that you fill out. And it's only a limited number of adults that can go so that we can make sure that we've got enough spots for our young people to go. But we've been taking these mission trips since 1996. With our young people, and they are life-changing, not just for our young people, but for those congregations that we go and work with, and we're excited that there'll be another trip planned even for this year. And then, aren't you glad that for what's happening in the life of Robert J. Lupo? Did I put his middle initial? Yeah, we've got to differentiate between him and his uncle, right? So Robert J. Lupo, or Bobo, as many of us finally call him, aren't you thankful for what's happening in his life? He's been at Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies since August. That's been a change of life for him. Going back to school in your 30s, and not just going back to school, going to preaching school. Some of you might think school of preaching, that's just a cakewalk. All you're doing is going and studying the Bible. It's not a cakewalk. It is serious stuff. It is a lot of study, a lot of memorization, a lot of work, and it's been fun to hear Bobo talk about it, to hear about the learning process of learning again. But he's doing great up there. We're excited that he'll be here this summer to intern with us and work with Josh and our youth group for this summer. And then, you know, a year from this summer of 2023, he comes down here full time to work with our young people, and we are excited about that, and just really thankful for Robert and Rihanna and all that they are doing with their life. We are thankful for what we get to do with House to House, Heart to Heart, that now monthly publication that we get to mail out. We get to put those labels on. It goes to about 3,300 homes, but that rotates each time, 3,300 different homes each month, and that's rotating through various carrier routes that are right here around the building so that people are getting that information in their mailbox, can read about the gospel, can read about Jesus, can read about the Lord's church, and just planting seeds. That's what we're trying to do. Take the Word of God and to scatter it, plant the seeds wherever we can so that other people can know about the gospel. And I ran out of room, and so right here tucked in the middle of nowhere, is Easter Island. But that's almost where it belongs. And we're excited for what's happening in Easter Island. We talked about it last week. And the impact that the gospel has had in Easter Island, the what is it, 16 trips that Josh has taken there, and he's ready to go back. We're just wanting that island to open back up to travelers to come in, and as soon as it opens back up, you know where Josh will be. He'll be on an airplane going back to Easter Island. But aren't you thankful for what's happening there, for the fact that Josh continues to meet with them on a weekly basis to teach them and encourage them and to ground them in the faith. If we had nothing else as a part of Mission Sunday, this is exciting. Amen. If there was nothing else other than our base, if we could just accomplish this, imagine how much good could be done to further the work of God. Amen. But next week, in order to fulfill the commitments that we've made, we need to give together $95,700. And anybody who wouldn't have been a part of this church might hear that and think, that's never going to happen. Well, we pray that it does. Amen. If our history shows us anything, it shows a congregation that has a heart for mission work. Not just, well, it's a good idea, but wants to see the gospel spread more and more and more. But what if we could give more than $95,700? What other things do the elders have in mind that we could be a part of if we were able to give more than what's necessary to cover our base next Sunday? We've talked for the last several years about Josh taking Bibles to Easter Island and the fact that there are no stores on Easter Island. You can't buy a Bible on Easter Island. How shameful is that? And so Josh has been carrying Bibles in his suitcase. Not smuggling. That's the wrong word, government. We didn't use that word. But he's been taking Bibles in there to give away, not to sell. But he's taken over 500 Bibles into an island that doesn't sell any Bibles. How great is that? Well, the elders have been talking about and saying, hey, what if we could send Bibles to other places? The Bibles that are out there in the lobby. And by the way, take those Bibles and give them away. Take all of those materials and empty that table today. But the elder said, what if we could get a case of those Bibles and send it to Pacific Islands? We get cases of those Bibles, like that box that's on the screen there. What if we could just mail cases of those Bibles to different mission points that could use those Bibles? Not just to Easter Island, but to some of our other missionaries in different places. And so if we are able to give $109,200, a part of that would be used to be able to send Bibles to various places. It would be used to help individuals who send letters to this congregation, send letters to this eldership, who are trying to go on various mission trips. And during COVID, those fell by the wayside, but those are starting to come back. A lot of this happens to college students who are in Christian colleges, and they have either a spring break mission trip or a summer mission trip that they get to be a part of, or not just college students. Some of you have been on these short-term mission campaigns and have written letters to the church, to the elders, said, can you help us out? And that's where this comes from. It comes out of Mission Sunday, to be able to help them out, not to pay the whole thing, but to be able to help them to raise some of their funds in order to go on some of these short-term mission trips. But if we're able to give next week $109,200, part of that will be continuing to give money towards something that the elders introduced to us last year, and that's something called Palm Beach Lakes World Missions. You know, our elders in 2003, they sat and they said in 2003, what more can we do? What more can we do in mission work? And that's where Mission Sunday came from. What more can we do in mission work? And so in 2020, in the middle of COVID, the elders weren't sitting back and saying, oh, we got to back off. We can't do very much. Our elders were just the opposite. Even in the middle of COVID, they said, what more can we do? And that's where Palm Beach Lakes World Missions came from. came from a reality that the elders realized that in 2020 and in 2021 that we were going to be paying off all of our debt. It would no longer have any mortgages to be paying. And they said, there's that money. What more can we do? Instead of paying off debt, how can we use that money to spread the gospel? That's where Palm Beach Lakes World Missions came from. And it gave birth, and the mission statement says, our mission is to labor with existing congregations and new works of the Lord's church in evangelizing, edifying, and equipping the saints in domestic works and in places around the states and in places around the globe, working with congregations wherever they might be in order to spread the gospel. And the intent of it was to start small and allow it to grow, to find ways that Palm Beach Lakes could be used to spread the gospel in a variety of ways in a variety of places. And so one of the things that has been started with that is that four different workshops have been identified that Josh and Dan can go and do for any congregation that asks for it in well, not just in the States, but within a reasonable place of getting that. If a congregation wants to have a gospel meeting, if a congregation wants to have a leadership workshop or an evangelism workshop, or if a congregation wants to have kind of a light the fire kind of workshop and just build up our enthusiasm for serving the Lord again, these are on our website. You can go and read about them. But some of these smaller congregations, they can't afford to bring somebody in to do something like this. They would want to have something like this, but the idea of bringing somebody in and paying them and paying their travel, and they just can't afford that. Well, guess what Palm Beach Lakes World Missions does? It covers all of that. So that Dan or Josh can go to these congregations and it doesn't cost that congregation anything. Aren't you glad that we get the favor of participating and furthering the Lord's work in places where we may have never been thought, never thought of working before? If you know of a congregation, maybe it's a place you visit when you go on vacation, maybe it's a congregation you used to be a part of before you moved here. If you know of a smaller congregation that could benefit from having Dan or Josh come and do one of these workshops, then talk to Dan and Josh. There's brochures that they have that they can give to you to pass out. Send them to our website where they can learn more about this. But this is exciting to think about. As we talked about last week, Palm Beach Lakes, we're just a jar of clay. We're not anything compared to the gospel of Christ. But if God could use us to further His word, what a favor, what a joy, what a privilege that is for us. And so if we can give $109,200 next week, we will be able to fund all of these things and continue to do all of these works. But what if we can give more than that? What if next week we were able to give $124,200? What more could we do? Last year, the Spanish congregation that's been meeting in our building again, they were meeting in our building for several years, and then they went and had their own place that they met, and they lost that, and so they came back here in 2016, and they've been meeting in our building since then. Last year, those brethren came to our elders, and they said to our elders, could you all help us to be able to get a place of our own to meet, to worship, and to call ours? Amen. I want you to think about them. They meet in a classroom. They meet in that same classroom every week. They've been doing that since 2016. They're not complaining by any stretch. Don't get that idea at all. They're thankful to have the opportunity to meet here. But they came to the elders last year and said, could you all help us to be able to get a place of our own? You know the heart of our elders, don't you? You know the heart of our elders said, yes, absolutely. You know our elders weren't going to say no. Our elders said we would be happy. They didn't say it in these words, but in other words, they said we would love the favor and the privilege of participating in furthering the work, helping you to get a place of your own to meet. So those men from that congregation, our elders, have been talking, been trying to work out some of the details on what that just what that's going to be. And there's a lot of things to be figured out. There's going to be more details that will be announced later on as those are determined, but we need to have some funds to be able to help in that regard. You may remember a few Mission Sundays ago, we did put aside some funds back then, and they were not used yet, and they're still there, but there's still a need for more to be able to help them to have a place of their own to meet. And why shouldn't they have one? If we could help them in that regard, why shouldn't we? Enjoy that favor of doing that and furthering the work of the Lord. But what else could we do? If we were able to give $124,200 next week, we could continue as we have done for the last several years to help support the In Search of the Lord's Way television program. I believe it's the best television program that you can find. Every Lord's Day morning, at least in our area, at 7 o'clock, on WGN, and it has the potential to reach 100 million homes in our country. There's only like 120 million homes in the nation, and it has the potential to reach 100 million homes in our country. Imagine the gospel being preached in every home in this country. That potential is there. And for the last several years, as a part of the Mission Sunday Pyramid, we've been able to send funds to help out this work. I don't remember what amount I mentioned last week. I probably highballed it for sure, but it costs $9,000 per day for In Search of the Lord's Way to operate. Can you imagine? $9,000 per day is what it takes for them to stay on the air. If we could give $124,200 next week, we would be able to continue to help them to preach the gospel. By the way, Phil Sanders, who's the host of In Search of the Lord's Way, he will be here first week of March to be preaching in our gospel meeting, March 6th through the 9th. But what if we could give more than that? What if we were able to give $134,200? As our elders talked about things to challenge us, things that we could possibly do in teaching the gospel and in doing more, they wanted to have something that would have a local impact. Not just things in other places, but what could we do locally? Last week we talked about mass evangelism, targeted evangelism, and personal evangelism. And so what could we do in a targeted way, particularly around this area, to help people to know the Lord, to come to obey the gospel? All sorts of ideas are there, but one possibility, and it may not be this, but one possibility, if we're able to reach this level, is for us to have a postcard produced, professionally produced postcard, about a 6x9 postcard, that on the front of that postcard introduces this church, lets people know that we're just trying to go back to the Bible, gives them information about where this church is and has our website. Not this, but something like this. But then on the back of that card, for the back of that card to be blank. And what if we as a congregation wrote out a card to people in this area in our own handwriting saying, I'm a member of the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ and I just want to invite you to come and worship with us. Not signing your name, not putting your return address on there. We're not trying to get anything like that. But you get mail, don't you, that is all just pre-printed. You get mail that comes in the mailbox and it's printed and you know that some mass printer just put it all together and put it in your mailbox. But what if you got a card that had obviously been handwritten by some member of the church down there? Would that get your attention? Would that say to you, you know what, I might want to check this place out and see what they're all about? Could we do that? Not just could we have the funds to do that, could we do that personally? The place that we would do that would be right here around the building. I know you can't see that map that's on the screen. I know it's too small. But what if we just start right here on Leo Lane and write cards to everybody who lives on Leo Lane? Write cards to everybody who lives over in Woodbine. And then write cards to everybody who lives just south of here, down here in Woods Edge in that Arbor Park area. And if we were able to finish that, what if we wrote cards to everybody who lives in the Garden Walk, this mobile home park that's right up here? What if we wrote cards to everybody who lives in June Pack's neighborhood up here in Garden Oaks? If we could do that, what if we wrote cards to everybody who lives across Military Trail over in the Square Lake area? What if we could write cards to everybody who lives in that mobile home park down in Blue Heron, on both the north and the south side of that of Blue Heron? And this map from Blue Heron to North Lake Boulevard on the east side and the west side of Military Trail are 4,200 homes. What if in 2022 we could write 4,200 cards together? Handwritten card that invites these people to come and worship with us. Could that make a difference? If we could give $134,200, maybe we could do something like that. Maybe you could give the names of your friends who live around here. We could write a card to them. Maybe you could give the names of your family members, your co-workers who live around here, and somebody could write a card to them, just inviting them to come and see the same thing that Jesus said in John chapter 1. What else could we do if we were able to give $134,200? We were able to do this last year, and we would like to be able to do this again. The elders would like us to be able to help those teachers in Pacific Islands Bible College to be able to travel out and help Robert Martin. We talked about Pacific Islands Bible College last week, how Robert Martin started this college. Instead of the people in Pacific Islands traveling to a Bible college to be taught in the Bible college and to learn the gospel and to learn the entire Bible, instead Robert Martin takes the Bible college to the people, kind of the reverse idea. And so he needs teachers to go and out there and to teach. And so he asked the elders last year, could you help pay for some of our teachers to travel? And he emailed and asked again that same thing this year. And so that would be our part. Robert sets it all up. Robert has the Bible college that's in charge of all of this. But it cost about $4,000 or $5,000 to get a teacher out there to be able to teach and to get back home. And what a great work this is. What a major difference this has. And if you get Robert's reports, you read about this a lot in Robert's reports and how big of a deal this is for the islands out there. But what if we were able to do more? What if we were able to give $144,200? That top number has not been that large since 2006. It's always been a little lower, less than that. But the elders have looked at what has happened in the last 2 or 3 years on Mission Sunday, and they wanted to challenge us to see if we could continue to reach the goal. What could happen? What could we do if we were able to give $144,200? Well, the elders would like us to be able to help a publishing group that's called Christian Courier. Many of you are familiar with them. They have an outstanding website. We talk about Apologetics Press website. Christian Courier is a website that has so much, just a wealth of material. If you've got a Bible question, go to Christian Courier and see if they've got an article. They likely do on whatever it is that you're thinking about. They've got an outstanding teaching resources, many of them written by Wayne Jackson before he passed. Wayne Jackson was a great Bible scholar, great mind, was able to a great writer, put that out in thoughts that could be easily understood and shared with others. They started off in a printed publication. That Christian Courier has been around for about 60 years. It started out in a print publication that still is still mailed out. They've got this website, but they've got a number of books that they produce. This one in the top right corner, Notes from the Margin of My Bible, has just been republished. It's been revised. It just came out this last week. Cam Krotz is the one who designed the cover of this newest book. But the books that the elders are particularly interested in are the two that are in the middle, and that is a commentary that's been written on the entire Bible. And the New Testament one that's in the background, the blue one that's in the background, that's on the entire New Testament. And then there's four volumes that they have on the Old Testament. The one in the forefront on the prophets is volume 4 of the 4 volumes that they have in the Old Testament, but they haven't had enough money to publish the other volumes of the Old Testament. And so the elders would like us to be able to help them out, to be able to get those other, because the elders have used these two volumes in the center and they have found them to be very helpful. And so they would like them to continue to be able to publish and to print these works to help others in the study of the Bible. And so if we're able to give $144,200 next week, we could be able to help out Christian Courier. And if you're not familiar with them, go to their website and check them out. If you're not familiar with the books that they print, if you would like information about that, ask me afterwards. I've got a list of the books that they publish and how you can order them. Just outstanding printed material that you would be blessed to have. But what more could we do? We have supported a couple times before, and the elders would like us to be able to support again, a work that's called Truth for Today, or in this case, Truth for Today World Mission School. This is a work that's out of Searcy, Arkansas, that's done by Eddie Clower, who's a preacher out there. And what they do is they publish and mail out to preachers around the world teaching and preaching materials. I want you to think about some preachers around the world who haven't been to school. They haven't been to a preaching school. They haven't been to a Freed Hardeman University school. They haven't been to school, but they want to preach. But they don't have the materials. They don't have the teaching in order to do it. And so here's what Truth for Today does. Every month, they mail out to 32,000 preachers materials that they can use in developing lessons that month. And they do it in 14 different languages. They've recently added a website where a lot of those materials can be collected from a website. But a lot of these preachers don't have access to those websites. But can you imagine a work? Those numbers just don't even sound real, do they? That in a single month, every month, 32,000 preachers receive something in the mail to help them in teaching and preaching the gospel. Wouldn't it be great if we could have the favor, the privilege of being able to participate in furthering that work on this earth? Our elders are challenging us this year. What happens if we give more than $144,200? The elders have a list of other things they would like to do that just didn't make the pyramid. They already have ideas of other things we could do. Mission Sunday has always been a day of victory. The amount of money has not determined whether it was a victory or not. Today, a victory, because Mission Sunday is a day where we collectively come together. Yes, we give money on that day, but we give money because we have first given ourselves. Given ourselves for the favor, for the gift, for the privilege, for the great thing that we get to be a part of, and that's furthering the work of the Lord. I hope you're excited about Mission Sunday. It's exciting just to stand here and talk about it. I hope it's exciting to hear about it. I hope that you get a glimpse into the heart of our elders. It's fun to sit in the elders' meetings as they're talking about these things and talking about what can we do next year and figuring out what's going to go on the pyramid. I'm thankful that we are a part of a congregation. It's not just looking inward. Not just looking at squabbles that individuals are having amongst themselves. That's what some congregations do. Not just looking inward and saying, oh, how are we going to make it? But is looking outward. Locally, nationally, globally. Saying, what more can we do? Let's pray together. Holy Father, we are blessed to be your children. We are so blessed that we can call upon you as our Father. Father, we are excited that we get to be a part of your work on this earth. Father, we recognize that's the very purpose for which we are alive. That we're not here to further our own agendas or our own careers or our own desires. That our number one purpose on this earth is to further your work. And Father, we don't begrudge that one iota. We are thankful that we have the favor of being a part of it. Father, we are thankful to be a part of Palm Beach Lakes. We are humbled to be a part of Palm Beach Lakes.
We are humbled by what we have been able to do together. We are grateful for what you have done through us. And Father, we pray that you would continue to use us in every way that you can. Father, we pray that we will be your instrument for righteousness on this earth. We pray that whether it is through Mission Sunday or whether it is through our daily lives of service, that you would open doors of opportunity where the gospel might be spread. Father, help us to not see mission work as just one day of the year. Help us to see it as every day of the year in what we do and what we say. Father, be with us in our preparations for Mission Sunday. Father, may we be like the Macedonians. Father, wherever we are in our lives, may we have their spirit, where we have an abundance of joy that gives freely and willingly. Father, may we abound in our generosity as we give. Father, help us to want the favor of just working with you, pleasing you. Help us to give ourselves to you so that when we decide how much money to give, it's not about us, but it's all about you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that we ourselves could not pay so that we could have the promise of going to heaven. Father, help us to not keep that to ourselves. Help us to teach it to others and help us to help each other collectively to take that word around the world. Father, we love you. And we need you. We pray that you would bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close this morning, I want to ask you, have you given yourself to the Lord? That's all that matters today. Have you given yourself to the Lord? Have you done what the Bible teaches us to do in order to be right with Him? The Bible says we need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. In order to be right with Him, believe that He died on the cross for our sins, was buried and raised the third day. Do you believe that with all of your heart? Believing that won't save you, but it gives you the right to be saved. It gives you the right to become one of His children. Because believing in Christ and what He did for your sins ought to cause you to look at sin a different way and to say, I don't want to sin anymore. I want to stop doing what's wrong and start doing what's right. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And if you want to do that today, if you're ready to make that decision today, you can do what they did in the New Testament. Confess the faith that is in your heart, and this very day you can be baptized into Christ. Amen. Not baptized according to some way that a man might teach about baptism, but baptized in the way that the man taught about baptism, baptized for the remission of all of your sins. Have you ever done that? Baptized so that when you're going down into the water, you still got your sins. But when you're coming up out of the water, blood of Jesus has wiped them all out. Have you ever been baptized so that that could happen? So that you could be added by the Lord to His church? So that He would add your name to the book of life? If you've never done that, you can do that today. You can give your life to Him. To be raised to walk in newness of life, living faithfully to Him. Not perfectly. He knows we won't be perfect. But He calls upon us to be faithful. If you're a child of God and you've struggled with that, you're a child of God and your path has not been what it needs to be in following after the Lord, if you need to get your life right with the Lord today, give yourself to Him right now as together we stand and sing.